Hey everyone, welcome back to the Nintendo Prime Podcast, episode 87. It's probably going to be a little bit of a shorter one, I think. Mm-hmm. Always say I think, mostly because we want to get to watching a football game tonight. But for those who don't know, we record on Thursday nights. And yes, that actually means next week, like not next week's podcast, but the one you hear afterwards, will be on Thanksgiving that we're recording. And it's going to be our most full podcast ever on a holiday. So apparently, we just have to schedule podcasts on holidays all the time. And that's how we end up with a full podcast.
Yeah, right.
We got some awesome topics to talk to you. Some of this stuff is stuff I've kind of covered a little bit in individual videos. Some of it's just something I haven't really talked about at all. And Eric obviously hasn't been on camera to talk about any of it. Now, I do want to note a caveat for this. We will not be talking about Pokemon Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu because we don't have the games yet. Mm-hmm. And I think it's better for us to talk about it, not based on other people's coverage, but based on our own experiences. And we'll be able to do that in full next week because we will have essentially a full week with the games at that point. I'm sure one of us will probably have beaten at least the main story by then and be working on the Master Trainers. And the guests that are coming, I know, are going to be playing it as well. In fact, our next podcast might be fully dedicated to Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, much to everyone's chagrin out there who hates my positive coverage of the game. But who knows? Maybe it ends up not being a positive podcast on it. We might end up hating it. So we'll just have to wait and see. That being said, by the way, you won't have to wait that long for my initial impressions. I haven't talked to Eric about this yet, but I was going to see if one of these, like on Sunday or Monday, if we can get together and just do a quick impression thing. Mm-hmm. But that's for us to worry about then. I have to have the game first to know when I feel like a good time for impressions
is. Right.
That being said, let's get right into the topics for this week. Well, I guess first, I'm Nathaniel Ruffle-Jantz. You guys should know me by now, unless you're brand new and this is your first podcast ever, first content you've ever seen at Nintendo Prime. Thank you so much for tuning in, and hopefully you enjoy it. This podcast is 100% funded by Patreon. Patreon.com/Nintendo Prime. There's mm-hmm. different tiers. You can be on a podcast. You can watch the podcast as we're recording it. I do also note, before I introduce my pal over here, that this will hopefully be the last podcast with this camera. I say that because a buddy of ours is potentially sending me a very, very nice and very expensive capture card. And assuming my computer doesn't crap the bed with it, we will be using our professional camera for all future recordings of this podcast. This is actually the only piece of content that isn't recorded with that camera. So the nice thing about that is, not that this is a bad webcam, it's like the best webcam in the world. I don't know if you guys even knew we used a webcam. Uh-huh. It glitches out a lot. And it's a 4K webcam. There's like an issue with like the 3.1 port. 3.1 port on it, and how it like you would think, because it uses USB-C, that you would use a USB-C cable to a USB-C port on the computer for the best connectivity and the fastest. No, because the USB-C port on the back of it doesn't actually support USB-C speeds. It only supports USB 3.1 speeds. So what's the hell is the point of a USB-C port on the back?
Yeah.
Beats the hell out of me. But the problem is there's too much signal degradation through 3.1, and it just leads to issues the longer the cord is. And if I use a really short cord, we can't get the camera in here. So it just...
Yeah, right.
It is what it is. So we'll be switching to the Lumix G7 if people are wondering what gear we're going to be using for hopefully the next podcast. I want to say for sure, but the card's not here yet. I'm going to be talking to him tonight to see if he can try to get it shipped out over the weekend or Monday, so then it can be here, you know, 2-3 days shipping, be here in time. But we'll worry about that when it's time to worry about that. And, of course, because it's new technology on a podcast of four people, we're probably going to have lots and lots of issues because that's just how it goes. Welcome to technology.
Yeah, right.
So my partner to the left here is Eric Moore, as always, on every episode but one, I think, so far of the podcast.
Yes.
He's also the one that always gets the podcast up at NintendoPrime.net, the only place where every episode of the podcast from the beginning through now is actually available. We're also on iTunes and Google Play and Podbean. So there's a lot of places to find us. Google Nintendo Prime Podcast, you'll find a way to play us.
Let me rephrase that. It's the only place where the audio and visual onlys are.
Well, here's the thing. There's no one YouTube channel that has all the video, and there's no audio place that has all the audio. So it's literally the only place to get the entire podcast at one spot.
Yes.
So why is that? Well, it's a good question, and maybe I will answer that. If people are curious, you gotta have to ask the question. But maybe I'll answer that on my new Prime Answer series that I do on Saturdays.
Yeah, there you go.
Where I'm answering people's questions in a standalone video, not a live stream. So that's if you guys are interested in some of that, maybe I will explain the history of the podcast.
There you go.
And the history of the Nintendo Prime. It's actually a really interesting history. All right, so our first topic, we're dealing with our old pal from Russia. The general manager of...
I think it's CEO. If that's what I've been saying.
His official title is general manager.
Oh, really? Okay.
But it's kind of like Reggie. There's like multiple titles, like presidency.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
He's the head honcho of Nintendo of Russia. This guy, what's his name?
Yasha Hadij. Sorry, Hadij.
All right. So he... I couldn't find exact data on when he became their head honcho in Russia. It seems like it dates back at least to the Wii era, some point during the Wii era. So he's been there, you know, over a decade or so. Mm-hmm. Some people have said, you know, he's done a few little positive things here and there that are good. But then there's also the other side of things where he hasn't treated the trading card community very, very well. And I've heard that apparently the trading card community in Russia is a little pushy. But when I hear some of the horror stories about how they've been treated, it's also kind of understandable. And I don't even know if they sell them in there anymore.
From what I read on the one article, I don't remember where it's from, but... they said that they stopped selling Pokemon cards.
Yeah. And another fun story. This is before we even get into the real story. So he's in charge of everything. So this includes game stocks. And this includes the upcoming Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee games. And having those in stock for people to buy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for the Let's Go Eevee version, I really hope you don't live in Russia.
Right.
Apparently, he has ordered a bunch of Let's Go Pikachus, apparently somehow underselling the demand, I've heard.
Oh, really?
So I've heard that that there's not even going to be there was pre-orders. All the pre-orders are gone. There's not going to be any on the shelf, and there's a bunch of people that want to play that don't have a choice but to buy digitally if they want to. And you can't, like, there was hardly any orders for, like, hardly any brought in for Let's Go Eevee. So everyone who wanted the Eevee version basically can't get it physically.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, and it's not like they have a massive market there. They're not known for having a huge – it's actually surprising they even have, like, a CEO and president when the market for Nintendo stuff isn't really huge in Russia. And this isn't an insult to our Russian viewers. You know. If you live in Russia, you know that, like, you might have a strong community, but it's not a big community. And this is probably why what we're talking about today flew under the radar for so long. So this guy, last year at a Level Up event – which is like a gaming event they do where they invite the public to come in and try out a bunch of Nintendo games. Sounds cool, right? Like, yeah, big positive event. Mm-hmm. Well, they live stream from it, just like the Nintendo Treehouse here in the United States. And they were doing a Mario Kart 8 tournament last summer. Made a lot of sense. Mario Kart 8 was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I mean, that or Splatoon are pretty much what I would have done.
Right, right.
That's probably what I still would do. Smash Bros. Probably now.
Right, now. Until it comes out, yes.
Anyways, they were streaming on the number one social media platform in Russia, which, by the way, isn't like your typical YouTubes and stuff like that, because it's Russia. So the number one social media platform in Russia they were streaming on. And the stream was going live, and everything was going good, and the host kicked it off and started, and they were explaining things and commentating. And out of nowhere, this guy walks in and says, "I can't find the stream. Must not be live." Blah, 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 right? Which is understandable. He could be panicking. So you give him the benefit of the doubt. Except... all the employees kept telling him it is live. Here's the link.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Well, I don't see it. Apparently, the story goes that he didn't understand how the social media platform actually works because he doesn't use it.
Ah.
So it was already being viewed by thousands of people live.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't know how the platform works. So he had no idea how to find it.
Oh, boy.
So that's already like a... how do you not know, like, your number one advertising platform? How do you not know?
Right, yeah.
And then setting that aside, I don't know what better way to say this. He treats his employees like shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the excuse I kept being told for his behavior as well, it's Russia. I'm like,
doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it can be Russia, but Nintendo has a code of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
That's independent of anything to do with whatever the laws are in the country. So I'm not saying, by the way, before we get into this, I never said he broke the law. Right. He might have. I don't know the laws in Russia. Exactly, yeah. So I can't tell you if he broke employment laws with how he treated the employees. But he frequently dropped the R word. Retard, if you're not sure what that is. Calling a lot of people that, asking them if they are that, threatening to fire people over the fact that he couldn't find the live stream. And this is all happening live, by the way. Mm-hmm. People are watching this happen. Mm-hmm. Started dropping F-bombs and telling people to F off and blah, 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 blah. Because everyone's trying to tell him that it's live and everything's fine. Yeah. And he's just like, no, you don't tell me what to do. Like, and then like there's contract employees there. And he at one point, this is like a 15-minute segment. At one point, he's like, I'm the one that signed your contract and F and pay you. You don't tell me.
Yeah.
I tell you. And it's like E-peening and power tripping all over him. And apparently, after this happened, a whole bunch of former employees of Nintendo of Russia came out on social media platforms and been like, yeah, like this is just how he is all the time. This is
normal.
Yeah. This is not like this is not just him in one frustrating moment where he can't figure something out. This is just how he treats employees. Mm-hmm. He treats them like gutter trash. He has no understanding of modern methods of anything in marketing or anything in Russia. He just doesn't get the market. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't understand what he's doing. And he treats all the other employees like crap who do get it and are doing what they're supposed to do.
Wow.
So, anyways, and this happened publicly. Obviously, this goes massively against Nintendo's family image.
Right. Right.
Sure. So I put up a video about it, and it's been interesting seeing some of the response. Obviously, there's been a lot of like, yeah, like this guy's a douche. You know, Nintendo's going to fire him. And some people were like, well, this happened back in summer of 2017, so why wouldn't Nintendo have already fired him? It shouldn't have took the public outcrying to potentially get him canned.
Right.
And apparently, the initial segment of the stream, they deleted, and it's not like in the United States where there's so many people watching that somebody captured it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just deleted. However, it resurfaced recently because a cached version of it was still on that social media platform. Someone discovered it, took it. Now it's on YouTube. Now it's everywhere. You can't hide now.
You're done.
You can't hide now. The whole world has it now. And lots of big sites, the IGNs, the Kotakus, the Eurogamers, everyone's covering it now because this behavior is just unheard of in the video game industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's unheard of in business
mm-hmm.
to treat employees the way that he was treating them, telling them to F off, telling contract employees that I pay, I'm the one that signed your contract, you don't tell me, when all they were trying to tell him to do was how to find the stream on the social media platform that they are streaming on currently live.
Yeah,
and he kept asking, are we live? And they're like, yes, we're live. They kept telling him, we are live right now.
Well,
I can't find it.
I had read, though, that there was a few technical difficulties in the beginning.
Yeah, there was a couple technical difficulties at the beginning, but that had to do with the Mario Kart.
That's why he was coming in, though.
Too. Yeah, it had to do with the Mario Kart, but when he came in, the technical difficulties were done.
Right.
And then the Mario Kart froze like, you know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, 8 minutes in or 9 minutes in. And then he just started just going off on people over it freezing, and they're just like, I mean, you know, it's obviously a technology issue, capture card issue, mixer issue. You know, we know all about that stuff. I deal with that stuff on the daily here. I literally saw it happen, and I'm like, okay, there's something wrong with the connection between the mixer and the capture cards, and like that. I see it. I can see what's wrong, or whatever. If you're using a modified switch, you know, there's something wrong with it. It overheated and it froze. Like, I could see like what's going. I don't need to like yell at people to get it fixed. Obviously, they know it's broken. These are the professionals that know what they're doing. Let them work it out. Like you can try to ask what's going on.
Yeah.
You can even try to direct people and try to get information and try to figure out what do we do if the switch is broken. Do we have another one we can grab quick? Like, yes, you absolutely should be doing like Reggie would be doing that at E3 if there was stuff going on.
Right.
But you don't have to treat your employees like shit and make them feel like everything is their fault, that they're screwing up initially because you can't find the stream.
Right.
And then because technical difficulties are happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, technical difficulties happened during the Nintendo Treehouse live stream, and we didn't hear any – like the video went away, and they're just like, oh, technical difficulties, and they just kept talking.
Yeah.
You just kind of move on. All that's handled behind the scenes.
Right.
So one thing, he came in front of a camera he knew – was part of a live stream to yell at people when he could have went around and did it on the backside. Probably still would have hurt him with how loud he was being. Yeah. But at one point, the hosts are like covering their microphones, trying to protect the audience from the language he was like. A large chunk of the thing has actually muffled audio because they're trying to block out the really nasty stuff this guy. So there's probably even worse things that were said.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point, towards the end, the host. When the guy walked away, went to somewhere else for like, I don't know, 30 seconds, The one guy goes to the other like, dude, I'm never working at an event for Nintendo again. And the other guy's like, yeah, this is effing ridiculous.
Oh, Jesus.
And then all of a sudden, and you can see they're just like laughing about it because they're just like, these were contract employee hosts. Yeah. Like these weren't regulars for Nintendo. Yeah. They were just contracted to host it. And so like, they're saying this knowing full well they're live. Mm-hmm. Like at one point when the guy was cussing someone out, the one guy like stuck his tongue out. And then the guy walked by and he's like, just gets super serious. Yeah. He's like, this is just freaking... Do you understand what's happening right now kind of thing?
Yeah, right.
Like, the hosts fully were aware of what was going on, and they're just like, what are we going to do?
Your guess is as good
and
as
then
mine.
He, then he walks back, and all of a sudden you see him just, they like, go from, like, laughing about it to just super serious. Like, don't piss this guy off. What else is he going to say?
Yeah, right.
You know, is he about to freaking can us right on the side we don't get our paychecks?
Yeah, right.
So, I'm laughing at it, but it's honestly a very nasty thing. Apparently there's a pattern of behavior that nothing's ever been done about. One, because they tried to hide it, and because it's such a small fan base and like a small segment of Nintendo, I think it's easier when stuff like this happens
to bury it.
For even if Nintendo of Europe knew about it, I don't know that Nintendo of Japan ever knew about it. But for Nintendo of Europe, who did, by the way, I know there's debate on if Russia's part of Europe. It doesn't matter. This guy was appointed by Nintendo of Europe. So they were the ones that hired him. Obviously, the branch in Russia runs underneath Nintendo of Europe. It's possible Nintendo of Europe knew about it, but might have thought because it's such a small thing and a small, you know, and a small fan base, and the outcry is only, you know, a few thousand people. I think we'll just kind of sweep it and hope it goes away.
Bury it.
Hope it goes away.
Yeah.
Because since there was no video publicly available because nobody actually captured it at the time. It's just a small 15-minute segment, which, again, in the United States, you'd be screwed. But on that social media platform, like they were, he was smart enough to be like, oh, crap, shut off the stream and delete it immediately.
Yeah, right.
But, of course, you know, they don't control the website, the fact there was a cached version of it that was discovered.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know if it was a cache or it was some sort of version that the website had.
Yeah, it was on the back end of the website from what I read.
Right,
it wasn't publicly seen,
right.
But if you dug through the code, you could kind of like find through the URL of the initial stream, you can kind of find a cache of it that wasn't deleted.
Yeah, right.
And this is true on a lot of video platforms as well.
Right.
It's even true on YouTube. Like a video, if YouTube deletes a video, there's still like a cached version of it on YouTube. You just have to know where to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... It's just ridiculous to me, if I'm being completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't react. We're watching the game, and the guy missed the field goal, and I just watched Eric go like this. I'm like, don't react.
I could pass it off.
That wasn't much of a pass off. I didn't say anything at the time to shake your head to.
Yeah, I could still be talking about that.
Anyways, now that we're completely off base. The guy, I just don't know. The thing is the prevailing theory is that it's okay because it's Russia, which
it's not.
The Nintendo employees that work there, the fans in Russia, all agree it's not okay.
Yeah, no.
There's no way in heck this is within Nintendo's code of ethics to be okay.
Right.
Even if that code of ethics doesn't apply in Russia, Nintendo doesn't like bad PR. This is really bad PR now.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo of Europe, if they did know about it, didn't do anything at the time, heads are going to roll in Nintendo of Europe as well. If Nintendo of Japan discovers anyone in Nintendo of Europe knew about this and didn't do anything, heads are going to roll in Nintendo of Europe as well. Because, and the thing is, it sucks now because right now Nintendo of Europe is kind of in a transition where they have like a new president they instilled, you know, around the time of this incident, ironically, because the guy from Europe got promoted to something in Japan.
And that actually might be another reason why it got
swept. Maybe.
Like how it got swept. Maybe it didn't get swept. Maybe it just got missed because of the transition.
Yeah, I don't know. But like, there's been a petition and fan outcry trying to get a hold of Nintendo of Europe to get them to pay attention to them. And, you know, they're not like the U.S. where like our fan outcry over something as silly as Waluigi not being in Smash is millions of people.
Yeah, right.
Pestering you on all social media platforms. There, it's just a few thousand. It's like a whisper in the wind.
Yeah.
So, I think, I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that Nintendo Russia wasn't aware of the backlash. Of course they were. They're aware of the backlash all the time, but they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like Vladimir Putin of Russia. He's aware of the backlash. He just doesn't care. As long as he's in power, he's good.
Yeah.
The other prevailing theory is that obviously that he's in Putin's back pocket, and the whole reason Nintendo put him in power there is because you can't really make progress in Russia without being in the good graces of the government.
Yeah.
But apparently there hasn't really been that much progress made anyways. Even for all the positive things he's done, the actual user base for Nintendo products hasn't really grown in Russia.
Hmm.
Now, Some of this is just because people in Russia are poor, and there's nothing that can be really be done about it. There's actually, it's not just about trying to grow. It's the realization that outside of like Moscow, no one really has any money. So even as like you try to make game, like he's apparently cut some prices on games, so they're a little bit cheaper than PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Prices on consoles aren't cut, and the console is the most expensive thing to get.
Yeah.
So it's just a very interesting thing. I think the 3DS, you know, might have done okay over there. Not great. I heard it was something like 700 to 1,000 people that owned it. It's not a lot. There's a lot more people in Russia than just 1,000. But
yeah.
The value out there is less on the entertainment, it sounds like. I mean, you would figure the value could be high in entertainment to kind of escape from the crappy lives a lot of people have, but when they can't afford to escape from the crappy lives they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucks. And I'm not going to get into the politics of the stuff going on over there, right. But I think that this is just a really crappy situation that makes Nintendo on the whole look bad. It looks like mismanagement, not just at their level, possibly at multiple levels of Nintendo of Europe. And regardless if the guy's in Putin's back pocket or not, Nintendo cares way more about their public perception than not. And now that this is a worldwide thing that everybody knows about, if he's not fired, it does way more damage to Nintendo than Nintendo simply shutting down the Russian branch entirely, mm-hmm. if that's what happens. Because mm-hmm. say he is in Putin's back pocket and he fires and cans the guy, you know, Nintendo Japan steps in and be like, no, we're sorry, you're dumb. We're not paying you. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done. You're done. And that ends up killing Nintendo in Russia, as bad as that might be for Russian gamers. PR-wise, it's the best. It's a better move Nintendo than anything. And plus, the Switch being region free, you could just get it. You know, you could just have them get it from other countries. I know it's a little interesting there, but I feel for you. We have people. Apparently, we have more people on my channel watching from Russia than I realized. So,
oh, really?
Maybe it's because my fiance is from Russia. I don't know.
There you go.
You took a Russian course.
I did.
That's what it is. No. There's so much Russian involved here. No, you guys didn't have any idea because I have nothing to do with Russia.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really interesting to me. Just this entire process, and like in my video, I was angry because, I don't know that he's a crappy person. I mean, it sure sounds like he's crappy to his employees, but he could just be egotistical and power tripping all the time. And not wanting to ever take responsibility for himself. We know plenty of people just here in the U.S. Not going to name names. You guys can guess that are exactly the same way.
Oh, boy.
But it's... Yeah.
No, for sure.
The thing is, the reason it made me mad is I feel bad for the employees that are being treated that way.
Oh, definitely.
These are employees that probably when they thought they got a job at Nintendo of Russia, in Russia specifically, they thought they hit the damn jackpot.
Right.
A stable company.
Yeah, right.
Probably decent pay.
Mm-hmm.
Probably located in one of the good parts of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
To be treated like that?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they've had high employee turnover, apparently, at a consistently good-paying job. How? Because they don't want to deal with him. Like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to them to take the abuse, and probably fires them all the time.
Yeah, right.
Because they're always the problem. They're always the problem. Yeah.
They're probably not the one quitting. They're probably the one getting fired.
Yeah. It's just a bad situation. Yeah. I really feel for all the employees that currently work there. I feel for the ones that used to work there. I don't know who else I should feel bad for. Like, part of me wants to say I feel bad for Nintendo Japan. We don't know. They maybe did know about it. Maybe they also swept it under the rug. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, this wouldn't have been under Furukawa, so... Not much would have probably changed, but it's still, you know, like I don't think anyone like Miyamoto's not going to get punished for it. He's obviously not giving a credit. He's got nothing to do with it. You assume he's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, I find it hard to believe that only, like somehow they kept it internal at Russia and Nintendo of Europe had no idea.
Right.
That no one at Nintendo of Europe.
Right.
Had any inkling that there was there like they didn't get any fan emails through a VPN service from someone from Russia about you know
right but then again if they had no proof
well apparently there's been backlash over this guy forever too and Nintendo of Europe has done nothing
but
so, like the entire reason that we're talking about
but
this,
the thing is that's all kind of he said she said in
well,
a
I
way
know.
So that's,
well, I know.
You can't
and that's what's nice about the videos now we have proof
right.
And I think that's the big thing on why so many Russian fans are actually happy that this video is now out worldwide because that's pretty much the only way that he was probably going to get fired
mm-hmm.
was pressure from the outside world on Nintendo to be like, All right, we're done. You are family friendly. This makes no F-bombs on a live stream.
Yeah, right.
And not just like, you know, like a frustrated, like, you know, like F this. No, F you.
Yeah.
And are you an R? Like,
yeah.
What kind of questions are that to employees?
Yeah, I don't know. Not ones
even
you
when you're frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, that lingo, sure, comes up for some people when they're playing games and they get angry. Yeah, but usually it's because they're angry at themselves.
Or
if they are angry at someone, because, like, I remember playing World of Warcraft. A lot of times, you know, if I'm sucking in a PvP match, someone would be like, hey, Nate, are you R? I'm like,
today I am sure, why not?
Not literally, no, but, like, yeah, I made some stupid moves. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right.
Exactly. But, like, but that's gamer lingo, right. And I'm not saying that that's okay. It's a cultural change. Like, right. It has slowly changed. It's slowly become something you're hearing less and less. You still do hear it in some games, but you're hearing it less and less as people become more aware that that the word carries more weight with it than you really thought of when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. I'll fully admit, I used the word a lot when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was a social worker, so I knew better than most kids what mm-hmm. that word meant. But it was just so commonly used.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't think anything of it. It was as common as sweet and dude back then.
Mm-hmm.
You would use it all the time. Oh, yeah. All the time. Just like we used to call things gay.
Yep.
And we didn't really mean it like we are against same-sex marriages.
Yeah.
But we did mean it as an insult.
Yeah.
Like, are you gay? Like, what does that even mean? Yeah. So if they like the other sex, it's bad? Like, that's not... We weren't mentally thinking that time, you know? No, when I was a kid, the way that was insulted was when we called people fairies.
Right.
That was the insult we meant for same-sex stuff. Again, these are things that you're not thinking about as a kid as much as when you grow up and you're like, oh, you know what? That was really stupid.
Right.
And culture and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the N-word has kind of transformed a little bit over time. It's still, you know, up in the air if, like, the N-I-G-G-A version is something that, like, I'm allowed to say. Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, people of color are allowed to say it, but am I allowed to say it? You can say it depending on the crowd you're in. You know, like, Eminem can say it, but, like, can other people?
Yeah.
Because it's become a term, because that term has become a term of endearment, but then you still have some people that get insulted because you're white and you don't have a right to say that.
Right.
We took that word back. And it gets really confusing. But the bottom line is, it's a lot better than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, no one was allowed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the A version.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gotten to that point where it's okay for the people of color to say it as a term of endearment. And it's even okay, depending on the setting you're in and the friends you have in the crowd you're in, to mm-hmm. say it as if you're other ethnicities, as long as, like, people that are okay with it, as long as they know, hey, this is just if you're friends with people of color and they constantly are calling you, like, my N, man, good job, my N.
Yeah.
Like, you saying it back to him is not going to insult the guy, because that's what you are to him. It's a term of endearment. Right. But again, it's a social situation. Like, if I come out on a live stream and I start saying it on a live stream, people are going to chastise the hell out of me. I don't have that kind of relationship with any of you guys.
No.
I just don't. So I can't. Like, even OJ from Player Essence, I can't call him that.
Yeah.
I doubt he'd be insulted by it. He wouldn't call me ignorant or something, but he wouldn't be insulted by it. I'm not even that close with him to use maybe when I was younger, the only thing like, if this was an okay thing to say back then, probably be Stormy Super at my school.
Yeah.
Because he was tight with everyone, so, like, he probably wouldn't have cared in today's world.
Yeah, yeah.
But
then again, it's, I don't know. It's
this is just a whole situation that I wish we weren't even talking about.
Right.
But we are,
mm-hmm.
because there's obviously ongoing issues out in the world. Not that this is one of the biggest issues out there, but treatment of employees certainly is a common problem in society everywhere, not just in Russia.
Yeah.
And to see it happen at, you know, my favorite video game company anyways, it sucks. But at least it's out there now, and I think no matter what, Nintendo's going to have – I mean, the guy's got to be – no matter what his connections to Putin are, no matter what's going on, it doesn't really matter. At this point, the public perception is – like, if they keep him, Reggie's going to be asked in every interview.
Yeah, right.
Furukawa's going to be asked at the next investors meeting. It's not going to go away because Nintendo's trying to protect a family-friendly image, and this is the exact opposite of that.
Oh, for sure.
And there's some people are going to be like, well, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened to Nintendo because Allison Rapp. Remember when we talked about her?
Oh gosh.
Because she was fired from Nintendo because she was like doing some extracurricular activities, which, by the way, wasn't actually illegal. But she was doing them and posing and having pictures taken. And, you know, Nintendo obviously not cool with that. Goes against her family-friendly image. Mm-hmm. And she was wearing Nintendo merchandise and some of it, which actually did breach her contract. That, I think that was actually what they used to fire her, was because she was wearing Nintendo merchandise.
Yeah.
She wasn't actually, like, trying to advertise Nintendo, but it's
right.
She has a bunch of Nintendo merchandise.
Yeah.
Probably looks people pretty good wearing the Nintendo merchandise in pictures.
People
so.
Could probably put two and two together.
And then people brought up her college paper, calling her this, they even bring it up till today, like calling her a pedophile, because she taught. It was a really weird college paper, but Nintendo knew about the college paper. Like mm-hmm. they knew about it when they hired her. No one mm-hmm. who digs up people's college papers. It happens now.
It's the internet.
It's the internet today. But the only reason they did it was the only reason they dug that up was because she was already being fired for the other thing. So they dug up her college paper that talked about pedophiles. And I don't want to say that it made pedophilia okay, but it kind of explained some of the mental stuff behind pedophilia and why aspects of it might have been okay. I didn't read the full paper.
Right.
But bottom line is, it was a college paper she wrote.
Right.
And whether or not she believes it or not, who knows, but she wrote it for college. She got a good grade on it. Nintendo knew about the paper before they hired her. Mm-hmm. And they didn't think it was a big – they didn't view it as she was okay with pedophilia. She was like, it's okay to be a pedophile. That's
no.
not really what the paper concluded based on what I read of it. It was a little bit hard to read based on my beliefs. And I understand why for a lot of you guys, you come down with the idea like that paper's wrong. I get it. But at no point do I think she's a pedophile. There's zero evidence that she is a pedophile. Just because she wrote that paper doesn't make her a pedophile.
Maybe that was the assignment. Maybe the maybe that was.
Yeah, you don't know. On college is different.
On the view of this person, write a paper.
In college is a very different place. You do get into these super serious things, and most of these things never come up in your professional career, so who cares?
Right.
It's what you had to do in college. Or, you know, maybe it is possible that she was – challenged to take an opposing viewpoint on a controversial topic, and she just chose that.
Right.
And she looked at maybe some of the psychological benefits for certain, maybe sickos out there, where maybe like the pedophilia stuff is a way to prevent them from becoming a worse monster.
Right.
You know, taking it from pedophilia to, you know, taking advantage of an actual kid in real life in person.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, maybe, and so again, and this. Some people say, like, that's worse. And I'm like, she didn't hurt anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. She literally didn't affect anybody else. So, in fact, the reason she was fired, she probably gave pleasure to other people. So, she didn't hurt anybody. So, mm-hmm. I don't actually think that situation's worse.
Right.
Regardless of what you think about the paper and the stuff she's done, I don't honestly think that's worse than somebody in a position of power e-peening all over everybody else and telling them how much... big F-tards they are.
Yeah.
You know, but not only publicly on the stream, but constantly behind the scenes.
That's crazy.
Impacting people's lives.
Yeah,
mm.
No.
Like, Allison Rapp, she didn't negatively impact anybody's life.
Yeah.
You just don't like her, and that's fine. I'm not telling you to like her. I'm not telling you it wasn't a bad PR situation for Nintendo. But it wasn't an upper manner. It wasn't Reggie Fils-Aimé on camera telling people to F off, calling people retards, and... freaking destroying the staff and threatening to fire them. Okay? I'm sorry. An upper management person doing that is 10 times worse than your personal opinion on someone's extracurricular activities in a paper they wrote in college.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to our next topic.
Next topic. Reggie hopes the 3DS is selling 4 years from now.
The 3DS just will not die. No. Okay, so let me get some background into this. I did an interview with Kotaku, and they briefly talked about the 3DS because he was trying to convince... Basically, Reggie's a master of selling. He's a marketer, okay? That's what he was doing at Pizza Hut before this. It's what he does at Nintendo. He's a master of marketing. So, Stefan Dottillo has kids, and he knows that Stefan Dottillo has kids because they have an ongoing... You know, they've had done a number of interviews over the year, an ongoing thing. They talk off camera, off the record, all the stuff. So he knew he had kids. He couldn't remember exactly how old they are because he kept saying, you know, oh, your kids are coming up on the age for 3DS, you know, like we think this is an excellent platform for entry level gamers, you know, kids and stuff like that, you know, ages like 5, 6, 7, 8. And he's just like, well, you know, that sounds great and everything, but you know, I mean, I guess 4 years from now, my kids could get it if you're still selling them. And then he said, oh, we will. And then he stopped and drew himself back a little bit. And then he's like, we hope he was selling 3DSs in 4 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. So bottom line is Reggie didn't want to commit that they are going to be selling 3DS in 4 years because I don't think he thinks they're really going to be selling 3DSs brand new in 4 years.
Brand new. That's the thing.
But I mean, you'll still be able to find them. But
yeah, for sure.
But one, he did the whole spin cycle on how amazing the 3DS is for kids. And so, you know, Stephen Teal's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to buy it for my kids anyways.
Yeah, right.
Which, yeah, I mean, my kids have them. They are great devices for kids. Yeah. Even though my son wants a Switch for Christmas because, yeah, as great as it is, the 3DS, he knows the Switch is better.
Yeah.
He knows.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the thing is, he's not into the deep Japanese RPGs, which there's a ton of those in 3DS. But he's into, like, the Marios and Donkey Kongs. And, yeah, Tropical Freeze is better than Donkey Kong Returns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Super Mario Odyssey, come on. Compared to the Super Mario 3D Land, And now Super Mario Brothers U is coming out on here. And he didn't – my son didn't get to play Wii U. He was, like, a little baby at the time I had a Wii U. So, yeah, he wants a Switch. And I'm just like – I kind of want you to have a Switch too, so you stop messing with mine. Switch has physical damage on it right now because of my son. So,
I was gonna say you could always just take the new one and give him yours.
No, I can't.
You can't because it got
No. You can do system transfers.
Oh, okay. So you can.
So what I'm saying, what you're saying is, I can justify buying myself the Pokemon themed.
You can theoretically could yes.
One and then just give him my old one because he's not gonna care.
Right.
As long as he has a Switch.
Theoretically, yes.
Damn you for...
Sorry.
You know what? I mean, my kids are getting... if it's not this Christmas, because I can't afford it, my kids are getting a 3DS sometime soon. You know what? I'm going to tell my son that when he... because we have like a chore chart, and when he fills up all his stars on the chore chart, I'm going to tell him, you know what? You're going to get a Switch. And I guarantee you, he is going to be the best behaved kid in the whole damn house until it happens. Then I'm going to regret it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, what can I drive him with next?
Yeah, right.
Hey, you want a TV in your room?
Yeah.
All right. Now you need to fill this star chart, but you need to fill it triple.
Yeah.
So it's like 3 years worth of chores you got to do before you get a TV in your room.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I had a TV in my room, but it was when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
It was... not.
I didn't have a TV in my room until I was.
It was a color TV that was black and white. You had to slap it to get the color back.
I remember that thing?
Oh, the old CTVs.
Buddy.
It was being sold at a garage sale at my grandma's house, and I'm like, I'll buy it. It's like $1. I'll take it. And
hey, it got through a lot of stuff.
We watched a lot of TV, a lot of late night sleepovers.
Oh, yeah.
Used to try to play video games on it. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
I eventually got a better TV, but not until I was almost like 16 or 17. My parents got me the.
I wasn't.
Is that no? I don't have that new. Do I still have that 32-inch? I kept thinking. No, I don't. I don't actually have it. What did I do with that thing?
Was that? Did that get broken?
Well, because when Yuli and I moved in together, that was our TV.
Mm-hmm.
That was our main TV for a little while till we bought the 55-inch.
Yep.
That was our first big purchase together as a couple. Was the 55-inch TV,
mm-hmm.
Which we still have and still use. What did we do with it? Well, then the TV moved to our bedroom,
mm-hmm.
the 32-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 32-inch in our bedroom now, but that's not the TV because that's a Roku TV that we bought when we moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it must have broke between the move from the apartment to here is what I think happened. So I remember plugging it in and it just didn't work when we moved here. So I think that's why I ended up buying that new 32-inch that's in our room because the TV didn't work anymore. Because we were using a Roku stick with it. That's why we bought a Roku TV because...
Yeah.
It's not like I think Roku's any better than anything else. It was just convenient.
But right.
Anyways.
Oh, for sure.
Reggie.
4 years we hope to be selling it.
I hope you're not.
Yeah, right. I hope we have...
hope there's either a successor to it or that you finally admit that Switch is your future for handheld and home console.
But hopefully by that time we have a successor to the Switch, like Switch 2 or...
Yeah, by then we should be talking about the next Switch. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
At least talking about it.
Right, for sure.
All right. I think that's all I got for that topic. I just thought it was kind of funny to be like,
it is.
He almost said it was going to be, and then he's like, oh, wait, don't actually commit.
Backtrack a little bit
here. It's the one time felt like Reggie was almost caught himself guaranteeing something that he knows he can't guarantee.
Yeah, right.
But he actually caught himself. Like, reword that.
Yeah. Let me rephrase.
But good on Reggie. You're a master at the PR.
Yeah, right.
All right, what do you got for our next topic?
Topic three would be Detective Pikachu, the trailer that came out for it.
Right. I've never been so excited for a Pokemon movie in my life.
Right? Well, it also helps that, you know, they got Ryan Reynolds to voice Pikachu.
I like Ryan Reynolds. I know some people don't like it, but, I mean, if you actually watch, I think it's the Detective Pikachu anime or whatever, and it was only in Japan, they use an even deeper voice. So it sounds even weirder from the Pika Pika to,
right?
I'm Detective Pikachu. Like, it's really bad. So Ryan Reynolds is kind of a nice in between that. And, anyways, but apparently what looks really cool to me, having played Detective Pikachu, haven't seen the little show they had out in Japan, it doesn't look like it's following it exactly, which is good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're basing it on it, but they're kind of creating their own story, which to me,
is the way
that's
to
how you adapt video games to movies.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest right now, there hasn't been a great, in my opinion anyways, a great video game to live action adaption of a movie yet. There's been some okay ones, maybe even good, you can argue. I didn't mind the Resident Evil ones. I didn't mind the Tomb Raider ones. Didn't think they were like anything to write home about. You guys know I love the Super Mario Bros. Movie. But, I mean,
that's
again,
not really a game brought to life. That's just a couple of characters brought into a...
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the thing. Right, that's exactly... What did I just say?
Right.
Based on, but its own direction. That definitely was what that movie was.
No, but that's a little bit more different because it's not really funneled along the... Based on, an actual... first game.
Well, yeah, Detective Pikachu movie is obviously based on the Detective Pikachu game, but I don't know. Okay, so let's just get into it. Like, the reason I bring that up is because I came away after this trailer thinking that this is going to be critically acclaimed, this is going to be worldwide acclaimed, and this is going to be really damn popular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people don't like the look of the Pokemon, because you got to remember, these are Pokemon brought to life to make them look real.
Right.
And I don't know what you guys actually thought Pokemon would look like in real life. Have you seen the animals out in the world?
Right.
I don't know what you actually thought Pokemon were going to look like. Because if you ever imagined like a Psyduck in real life, he's going to look pretty damn crazy in the eyes. Because it looks crazy in the eyes in the anime. It is cutesy.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be so cutesy in real life.
Right, for sure.
Pikachu looks a little less cute in real life. Yeah. What did you expect? It's a rat. It's a big rat. What did you think it was going to look like? You know, my favorite part, I mean, Mr. Mime is the one that looks the most like the anime, except the face.
Yeah.
Oh, the face on Mr. Mime is like, not just like him doing the impressions in that scene, which is amazing, by the way.
It's amazing. He's telling you you can shove it.
Which, by the way, that's not a joke from the game. Oh, that is something beyond what Nintendo is usually willing to do.
Yeah.
That lets you know they're willing to get a little bit edgy with this movie, which is awesome. But I liked it.
Yeah.
I came away impressed. I mean, what was your favorite looking Pokemon in the whole show that we saw? There was a lot of them, and I don't remember every single one, but there were some that got some big screen time.
The Bulbasaurs look kind of cool when they
walked through the march. Yeah.
I mean, Pikachu looks pretty damn good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not.
We only saw the one Pikachu.
Yeah.
Which was the main Detective Pikachu character, but.
Charizard looked. I don't know. I could see how you could not like it, but I thought it was okay.
Well, here's the cool thing. You probably haven't seen it. They had some people visiting the studio where it's being made, and they had four models of like real world models made of the in-game Pokemon in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Pikachu, Psyduck, Charizard, and it wasn't Charizard's full body. It was just like his head and his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And one other. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Jigglypuff or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyways, and you look at the Charizard one, because the thing is we only really saw Charizard in the show while he was breathing fire and with his mouth wide open. So you never really got a full good look at him. You just kind of got like the background blur version of him.
Yeah.
But after seeing that head, I'm like, that's what I would think Charizard would look like in real life. The reason it looks so weird, I think initially, is because we've never actually seen Charizard with scales.
Yeah.
like a dragon would actually have if dragons were real.
Yeah. Oh, right, right.
Some of you believe they are real. Point is that they have all the scales.
Komodo dragons are real.
Yeah, Komodo dragons are real. Just like we have never actually seen Pikachu with fur, but we just know that he has fur. Like, it's inferred that these Pokemon have fur and scales, but we don't actually see it. It's just a solid color in the shows.
During the time of
technology. So when you see it with real fur, you see it. I mean, that's just how animes are anyways.
Oh, right, Well, they're not going to spend the time to draw each individual little hair.
Oh, that's not the way animes are. Animes are more simplistic anyways.
Right, no, exactly.
So, and by the way, I realize there's some highly detailed animes out there, but that's not what Pokemon is. So, yeah, I thought Charizard looked awesome. Most off-putting one, it was obviously Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff is ridiculous.
Not because I don't like it. I think it's hilarious.
Of course, they had the Jigglypuff drawing on somebody.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because, one, Jigglypuff's drawing on somebody, which makes me instantly think he's drawing dicks.
Oh, probably.
Which I mean, I don't know if they're going to allow a dick joke in here, but this is the perfect opportunity to allow a penis joke in.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone could totally believe Jigglypuff would be doing that.
Right. It was a microphone, we swear.
And, like, you're just like, because here's the thing. Jigglypuff is often considered one of the cutest Pokemon in the the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see what a Jigglypuff would look like in real life, and you're just like, okay, that's not cute. That's kind of creepy, but hilarious. And how would a Jigglypuff look like in real life? It ain't going to be all cutesy.
But no. The part where we saw it, though, was when it was pissed off.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, it might be cute.
It's probably one of those, like, and then just gets pissed, and you're oh, crap.
Well, yeah, because everybody fell asleep.
I thought Psyduck was probably my favorite looking one. One, because it looked exactly like I thought Psyduck would look like. And two, like those eyes, and then he does like that move in the woods that looks like it's just clearing down all the trees because was it the psychic scream? Psyblast? Yeah, Psyblast. Oh, man. It just looks great. And like the story, you know, of the guy trying to figure out what happened to his dad. And then it looks like they're solving other crimes because it looked like there was also like the trying to find Squirtle or whatever.
Yeah.
And from the police station or something. It looks really, really good.
It does.
I know some people might not be into it. Right. For some people, it's a little too real.
Yeah. I can see it.
But, I mean, it's a live-action Pokemon movie. Right. It's supposed to... Like, fact that you think it looks too real tells me that that's exactly right. It should be.
Right. It's a...
Oh, I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah.
Summer next year. And, of course, the trailer dropped the same day as Toy Story 4's teaser. Just a teaser. Yeah. And the thing is, I'm not even that excited for Toy Story 4. I'm not. Like, the teaser looks all right.
The teaser was funny.
But, like... It's Toy Story. Of course it was going to be kind of funny. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. The story ended perfectly in 3.
Yeah.
So 4 now feels like they're Pirates of the Caribbean in this thing.
Yeah.
And just, we know it's popular. Yeah. Look how well 3 did. We got to milk it.
Yeah.
And it's like, Andy's gone now. It was a nice moving on story. Story of growing up like we are, handing our kids down to our children or our neighbors. Like, it was a perfect ending to everything. And now you're like, no.
Yeah.
No, we're back again.
Yeah, we're back.
It's like
again.
Toy Story's back. Tell a friend.
Yeah, duh.
Pika Pika. Pikachu cameo.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on. Where's the Pokemon cameo? Yeah, right. It's Disney. Oh, So I don't know. Excited?
Oh yeah. I saw it. And I was like, wait, what?
I mean, this might be. We haven't done this in a while. This might be day one I watch.
Oh yeah.
One, you guys probably want to know my reactions to it.
Yeah.
And I'll probably do like a spoiler-free reaction to then like a, heck, I might even do a review.
No.
Like a spoiler-free review. And then I'll do like, now we're spoiling the whole thing and just talking about it.
Right, right.
And I'll tell you guys at the beginning of the video. Like, if it's obviously. Or something. But man, am I pumped.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look really
good. I think I could be a 32-year-old man pumped for a Pokemon movie.
Right,
The last time I was pumped for a Pokemon movie was Pokemon the movie. Very first one with Mewtwo.
Right.
Right? Like, and the story in that, and like, I cried, but I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I to be honest, I went because I wanted the free Pokemon card.
Right.
The little Japanese Pokemon Mew, was it?
I think
it was Mew?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole reason I went, and then I ended up loving the movie. Yeah. Well, I liked the anime back then.
Yeah.
But that was the last time I was excited. They had all these other Pokemon movies. I just ended up not caring.
Well, we did kind of fall out
of it. But they kept following it up, and I'm just like, eh. This one? Hell yeah. This is exactly what I want.
Well, I know this is good because I rewatched the trailer like 4 or 5 times just because.
I can't believe it. It's what I imagine Pokemon would be like. Not this Pokemon Go where it's still a cartoon character in the real world.
Yeah.
Now give me the real stuff.
Yeah, right?
Finally, we have the real stuff.
Yeah, nobody can understand me. Pika Pika. Yeah, Pika Pika.
Oh man. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Lord.
All right, what was our final topic here?
Oh, final topic would be the N64 Classic is apparently at this point not happening.
Not happening. This is according to Reggie Fils-Aimé. Why don't you read the quotes on what he had to say about it?
Of course. We were clear when we did the first two Classic series that for us, these were limited time opportunities that were a way for us to, as a business, to bridge the conclusion of the Wii U as a hardware system to the launch of the Nintendo Switch. That was a very strategic reason why we launched the NES Classic system. So while consumers may have been anticipating something, we view these as limited time opportunities. We've also now been very clear that as the consumer looks forward to engaging with our classic content, that it's going to happen more and more with the subscription service. I would not ever rule something out, but what I can tell you is that certainly is not in our planning horizon.
Oh. Raise your hand if you think N64 games are coming to that online service anytime soon.
You know, no, I don't see it.
It has NES games. They're still selling the NES Classic this holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Like, I think that was their strategic reason when they released the NES Classic, because they had publicly, it was very, very strange, by the way, they publicly announced they were discontinuing the Wii U before Switch was even announced.
Mm-hmm.
So Nintendo's never done that before. That's how much Wii U is bombing. So I get that the NES Classic for that holiday was definitely a strategic move for them to basically make money that holiday.
Right.
Because you're not going to buy Wii U's because we're not doing anything for Wii U anymore.
Yeah.
You buy 3DS, sure, but 3DS, you know, we obviously know, you know, 3DS alone was doing fine at the time. So I think, one, it always has to be said, Reggie could just be full of it.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo has denied stuff in the past. They denied the 3DS XL and new Nintendo 3DS were even a thing, and then announced it weeks later.
Yeah.
They said, we are absolutely not making new hardware, and then they announced new hardware. So the thing is, Nintendo's is a company that never talks about something until they want to.
Right.
So up until the point that they want to talk about something, they typically deny its existence, hardware-wise. Right. Software-wise, they'll be like, obviously we're working on something. Well, we have nothing to announce today. Like, that's different. Because you, like, as we know they're working on a new Zelda game, but they're not really going to talk about it.
Right.
So I don't think this means that we're not getting an N64 Classic next year. It just could mean that they don't want to talk about it. But let's say that it does mean we're not. I think the interesting part, and this is the second time now Reggie has referenced the fact that the Nintendo Switch Online service is basically supposed to be the new virtual console. He didn't say that in so many words, but he said the reason we're not going to do it is because we're going to be delivering retro games through our Nintendo Switch Online service, which only currently has confirmed to be serving NES.
Right.
SNES is assumed, but we don't have confirmation.
Right.
And even then, the weird thing is that hasn't stopped them from selling NES and SNES classics when those are the ones that are going to be coming to the platform first.
Right. Right.
So it makes no sense to me. The logic Reggie is using, especially when he's like, for the NES classic, fine, I get that, strategic. What about the SNES Classic? You knew you were going to be offering those games on the Nintendo Switch Online service.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the SNES Classic fit into it?
How's
just be honest. Yeah. You knew it would make money.
Right.
Why are you going to do an N64 Classic next year even though you're denying it? Because you know it's going to make money.
Right.
You're not going to not give people what they want.
Right.
Not when you know you're going to make massives and you could sell it for $100 a pop like the PlayStation Classic and sell millions upon millions upon millions of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to do it. N64 games are not touching the Nintendo Switch anytime in the next 2, maybe even 3 years.
No.
And now, Nintendo could prove me wrong, of course. Next year, by next summer, maybe at E3, they're a huge announcement. If they don't have any new big games to announce, you know, it's just games you already know about, they talk about. Maybe their big announcement is, by this holiday, you can get GameCube, which would be huge. Never been done on virtual console yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can get N64 and SNES and everything by holiday. on this platform, just based on how they're handling it now with NES games. Does anyone really think that's a thing? I can't assume it's going to happen until they prove it.
Right.
When they released Virtual Console in the past, they never just started with NES.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us a selection of popular games from these particular systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expanded upon those games weekly, by the way, not just three a month for one console. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the idea, especially now that it, like, the one nice thing with the online service is they're putting these games online, which means like if they could find, they're not going to be able to do it, but if they could just get all the rights holders together to get GoldenEye back out,
you're right,
through the Nintendo Switch Online service,
yeah,
that would almost justify the online service to me, because now you could tell me I could play that multiplayer online.
Yeah.
Oh baby.
Right.
Oh baby, you guys, right, know we're having, right, some GoldenEye tournaments.
Yeah, but the only problem is isn't that a rare game?
Well, yeah, but they don't own the they don't really own the rights. The reason that the game has never been re-released isn't because of Rare. Okay. It's not like a Rare-owned IP. It's James Bond.
Yeah.
So there's a group that owns the Bond thing. But Rare has a claim. Nintendo has a claim because Nintendo published it, by the
right
way.
Okay.
So Nintendo has a claim.
Okay.
The people who own the 007 license and, right, the GoldenEye license, right, have, yep, a claim. And none of them have been able to come together to agree to be able to re-release it. So it was remade later on Wii, which it was an all right game, but it wasn't the same thing.
Right.
So... I don't know. I want an N64 Classic.
Oh, so do I.
It's a big part of my childhood, especially if they can make an agreement with Microsoft, which Microsoft might be more willing to than you realize.
Oh yeah.
To put Rare games on there.
Yeah.
Because they, sure, one, they would get a chunk of every sale of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not that Nintendo wants to give them a chunk. And maybe that's the reason they won't do it, is because you can't release an N64 Classic without Rare games. You just can't.
Right.
Then again, apparently you can release a PlayStation Classic without Crash Bandicoot.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The mascot of the PlayStation 1 at the time.
Yeah, right.
Not on the system.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And the thing is, I didn't play PlayStation back then, but yeah, even I knew Crash Bandicoot was a big deal.
Yeah.
And nope. Not on, yeah, the PlayStation. Right, right, yeah. I mean, to me, that's like releasing the N64 Classic without Super Mario.
Yeah, right. 64?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How? Yeah. You can't.
Right.
You can't. There are certain games you can't release an N64 Classic without. Ocarina of Time.
Yep.
Super Mario 64.
Yep.
Star Fox 64.
Yep.
Mario Kart and Smash.
Yep.
That's the, that's like the five huge ones from Nintendo. You can argue Majora's Mask and stuff like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to say Snowboard Kids and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
right,
those are the ones that I think would be, might not be included. But then Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yeah.
I could see where they could justify leaving off Conker.
You could argue Conker, yeah, but
you could argue that like Conker is big, but it wasn't as, it wasn't super super popular. Banjo Kazooie was almost Mario levels,
right?
So Banjo Kazooie would have to be there. Diddy Kong Racing,
yeah,
probably if they're gonna put another racer on, anyways.
Right.
I would argue Quarterback Club 98.
Yes, that was
okay. Just, yeah, because I want, just because I want that Brett Favre Quarterback Club coming.
Yeah,
back.
Right, right.
With the glitch, but yeah,
wasn't that 99?
Well, I don't know. You had 98, I had 99.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
99, I think, was the one with
whatever
the
was.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. I don't.
Right? But.
But.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, me even trying to whittle it down to just like 20 games is like, yeah, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, right.
There's so many good games then in, yeah, 64.
Well, it's a good thing you can hopefully house.
Well, that's like, the thing. He keeps hinting that we're going to be able to get all these games on Switch, but without actually saying that we're going to get them on Switch.
Right.
He's like, oh, we're going to deliver a classic game. Okay, we're talking about the N64.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, are you going to deliver N64 games through the Nintendo Switch Online service?
Right.
Yes or no? And
right,
he's never going to say anything about it.
Right. It's just saying Reggie, we have plans of that.
He didn't even argue they have plans. They just said, yeah, we're not doing it because we believe in delivering our classic games through Switch, which is a, right, cop-out answer. I mean, they could be planning to release N64,
right,
which you would assume that's what he's referencing, but that's the thing. He, right, didn't commit Nintendo to anything,
right,
other than we're not going to do it, which, again, they do say that all the time right before they're about to do something.
One can argue that's a damn good move on his part to not commit to anything.
I know, but then it also gets people's hopes up.
I realize
just
that.
Like it did last E3 that, when he said the Nintendo Switch Online service is their virtual console replacement,
yeah,
at the same time that it's doing things way worse than the virtual console ever did.
Right.
So
yeah, I don't know. It's, and that's probably why he learned to not actually
try to get people excited for it.
Right. Right.
Don't overpromise because we're going to underdeliver.
Right. Yeah, right? He was probably told that exact thing.
Oh, God. What world are we living in?
You're right, right? Oh, goodness gracious.
Besides the games I'm at, is there any other game? Like, let's just say the N64 Classic arrives. Anyways, let's just assume that he's just talking on his butt like Nintendo's done before because they don't want to announce it yet. What are your... You know what? I'm putting you on the spot because this is right in your wheelhouse. N64 is your wheelhouse, baby, when it comes to Nintendo. If there's anything I could talk to this guy about, it's NES and N64 for sure. Those two systems you were heavy on. You were Game Boy as well. But
yeah.
You know, we haven't really had a conversation about Game Boy stuff. Future ideas. We actually should talk about Nintendo's handheld system sometime. Anyways, give me 10 games you think are absolutes that would have to be on. Not just ones you want, but like ones you're like, no, the importance, popularity.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Give me your 10.
Obviously, you have to start with Mario 64.
Sure.
Mario Kart. Smash. GoldenEye has to be on there.
That's such a tough one.
And I know. And that's the thing.
That's a tough one.
And
if they can't get that, then you would figure it has to be Perfect Dark.
Right.
Which some people think is the better game, but GoldenEye was the
more popular.
Right. Anyways.
The one nice thing I do like about Perfect Dark was you could play against bots.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was the nice thing about that.
It's like you can in Time Splitters. I don't think that was on the N64, was it?
No.
I think it was GameCube.
That was GameCube.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is I know I would want Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, I'm sure that would be one of those that has to be on there. But you could argue, I guess, it not being.
Well, you could argue the reasons it won't be is because Nintendo doesn't have any rights to it.
Right.
But they have third-party games on there all the time on their classic systems.
Right, right.
So the question is, would Microsoft be willing to do it? And it's an IP Microsoft's doing nothing with.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, for sure. That we know of.
Well, yeah.
Right.
So I'll throw it on there. I mean, I even said that it had to be, like, you can't. It was, like, the second most popular platformer on the whole freaking system. How can you not have that there?
No, for sure.
It was popular enough to have Banjo-Tooie and then followed up by Nuts and Bolts, which ended up not being good. But anyways.
Yeah.
That's five.
Oh, God. I mean, I'd personally say Snowboard Kids is there, but, again, you can argue that.
Nintendo owns all the rights to it, though.
Who knows about it?
They do own all the rights to it, so they could put it on there. They don't have to talk to anyone else about it.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. That's one that we really want, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be
right. Right.
God. There's one big one you've already forgot about.
Of course I did.
That I mentioned earlier.
Of course I did.
What was I doing for 20 years of my life?
What, quarterback club? No. Zelda. Yeah.
Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
So I'm like, so I'm not much of a
I know,
but you know that's the number one rated game of all time.
I get you. No, I again, it's one of those things that I'm trying to think of games that I've played, and all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, yeah, I kind of forget that, you know.
Did you say Star Fox?
No, I did not. Star Fox does definitely need to be on there.
And I think it would. They've re-released it. It's obviously an important game for the series.
Right. And it actually won. Oh wait, no, that was on the.
So we're up to 8.
That was on the.
Star Fox Assault?
Yeah. That was
GameCube.
No, I was also thinking of Star Fox 2, but that was on the SNES.
No, that was on the SNES.
Yes.
Classics.
So. And that was also Star Fox 64. That was on the on the 64, not Star Fox.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
What am I at? 8?
Yeah, at 8.
Okay. Yep.
There's ones I personally want on there, like Shadowgate 64 that have no shot.
Right.
No shot with Shadowgate 64.
I mean, you could argue, like you said, Diddy Kong, if you wanted to put another racing on there, but I don't know if they would.
One, if they do, it'll be a... There was an F-Zero on there, wasn't there? F-Zero GX? No, GX, I think that was GameCube.
I don't think it was as good, though.
No, not as well remembered as the last one.
Right, as the original.
Yeah, they probably put Diddy Kong Racing on before. And while that was made by Rare, just like Donkey Kong Country, Nintendo owns all the rights to it.
Right.
Well,
you could say a Donkey Kong Country. Or Donkey Kong 64, I mean.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep.
Donkey Kong 64. That's a good one. So let's count that as 9. Okay. One more. Yeah, Donkey Kong 64 has got to be there. Donkey Kong's like one of the OG IPs.
Right, right.
Nintendo. So that would make sense to have that there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good God. Why am I...
drawing blanks. Yeah. Are you going to get your phone to look them up? Oh, boy. This is where you're like, well, the library must not have been that good.
No, no, it's it is. It is. I'm just... for some
I mean, I know what thinking. I would throw on. I think the
and again, the, but again, it's one of those things that we're trying to figure out what would have to
be. I mean, there's going to be more than 10 games, by the way. This is just the 10 that we think are absolute for the most part. Like, I can tell you right now, my 10th one would have been Majora's Mask.
Right.
Because if they have Ocarina of Time on there, they might as well have the sequel. Perfect. But then you could argue if they have Banjo-Kazooie, should they have Banjo-Tooie?
Oh, you could argue a Paper Mario.
Ah, Thousand Year Door. Wait, no. Yeah, was that
Paper Mario. Just Paper Mario. No, that... Yeah, N64 Paper Mario. Let me see. What's I don't think... That? You could argue one of the Pokemon games.
Oh, yeah, it was just the OG Paper Mario. I bet you Paper Mario would be on there.
And, or you could argue
Pokemon one of the Pokemon... Stadium? But or the problem Snap. Is... It,
that'd be...
You have to have... Cute. It would have to functionally work right. with, like, Let's Go or something.
Right, right.
To still be viable today.
Right.
That's the one problem. Like, Pokemon Stadium, I think, would be awesome. Or Coliseum. But you, Coliseum, was that GameCube? Coliseum might have been GameCube. Okay.
Mario Tennis and Mario Golf? Although that was more Game Boy.
Well, the ones that were really good.
Right, right, right.
More Game Boy.
Strikers
Soccer, that was
Wii.
That was GameCube.
Cube, yes. Cube and Wii. I mean, Conker's Bad Fur Day, you can make the argument both ways. I would want it, but...
Give me that pissing drunk squirrel right now.
Right, right. It's really funny. Like the first how many of them that I scroll across, we all mentioned.
Yeah, except for Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, yeah, Snap.
Oh yeah, F-Zero X. Yes. GX was yeah. GameCube. Yes. X, yeah. Okay. Oh, well, one of the Mario Party. One of the
OG Mario Party.
One of the Mario Party. They have like four of them out there. Banjo-Tooie. If you have Banjo-Kazooie, it feels like you would... If they're going to work up the rights to get Banjo-Kazooie on there, you got to figure they could put the sequel.
Right.
You know, just and like then, just like Ocarina of Time, they're going to put the sequel.
And then get the rights to
Banjo- Oh, you know what we forgot? I just...
And then, what?
How could we forget?
Wave Race?
Yeah. That's the other racing game they could put on there.
I wasn't much of a Wave Race
I know, but that's the other racing game they could have put on the Wave Race 64.
Yeah.
You didn't... Oh, maybe it was just me that played a lot on Game Boy with Wave Race. Yeah. It's funny because the Game Boy game is really just like a lot of those flash games out there now.
No, that's the other one that they have to get on there.
What?
Rogue Squadron. Yes, that would be another half to have
on there. Is that Disney owns everything for it.
I know, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't theoretically.
I know.
It's just how many places do you want to split your profit
Rogue
with?
Rogue Squadron.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want that way more than Star Fox.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
plus, it helps you can play Star Fox already on 3DS, like the 3D Star Fox 3D version, Star Fox 64 3D or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Those are
so many good games.
Yes, there is.
All right, I think that's good. You guys, let me know what you guys would like to see on an N64 Classic, or I guess the first N64 games that might be on the Nintendo Switch Online service.
Maybe.
When they sell us those N64 controllers that we could throw on the side of our Switch for like $100.
That's going to be awkward as hell. No. They'll make that one a pro controller.
No, they won't. Because it's got to be exclusive. It's got to be exclusive to Nintendo Switch Online users. That's how they're selling the NES ones. That's how they're going to sell the SNES ones. No.
They'll sell it as an exclusive pro controller.
But it doesn't have enough buttons to be a pro controller. It only has one stick. Doesn't have enough triggers.
What?
An N64 controller can't be a pro controller.
No, I'm saying they'll bring back the old controller and use the same wireless connection.
Oh, you said it'll be wireless.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the NES ones are wireless.
Yeah.
Of course they'll be wireless.
Like a pro controller.
Yeah.
Like a sold as a quote-unquote pro controller.
I don't understand what you're...
So you don't have to freaking clip it on the side.
No, they'll have you clip it on the side. You know what's funny?
That's going to be weird as hell.
It's weird as hell already with the NES ones.
No, that does make sense, though.
How does it make sense?
Because they do kind of look like Joy-Cons.
No, they don't. They look nothing like Joy-Cons. They look like this.
I know they do.
Here's your phone.
I know.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wait,
they
don't.
Yes. They slide on the Switch and they extend past the top and bottom of the Switch.
Sure. I don't know. I guess I haven't.
I mean, it's not that extreme, of course. Yeah. But yeah, it does not look like the Joy. The Joy-Cons are flush and clean and sleek and complete the roundness of it.
Yeah.
That's not what the NES controllers do. And they look awkward because all the buttons are facing the wrong way. So you can't even use it like that. No, and the funny thing is, people have already photoshopped what the N64 ones look like, you know, with the three prongs going up. Yeah. And it's just like, man, it's almost like a weapon. You throw it on and you pick it up and
Right? Oh, God. Well, that thing was like a weapon to begin with.
I mean, technically, the NES controller is the OG with the cords. I remember swinging those things around. Those were definitely weapons. I caused some gashes with those bad boys. If anyone wants to tell you those edges weren't sharp, no, not like sharp to the touch. But sharp enough that if you whip it at someone, you can cut them open.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Memories. All right. You guys let me know about your ideal lineup. Let's go. You know what? Let's go 20 games deep. We went through about 10 to 12-ish. Let's go. You guys give us a 20-game list, which is probably how many games they would put on an N64 Classic. Mm-hmm. Or what 20 games you would like to see them launch. You know, it could be either or. What you want to see in the Classic or what 20 N64 games you would like to see them launch in N64 for Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah.
What are the 20 games you feel are the quintessential, have to be there day one when they do anything with the N64? What, regardless of copyright and all that, just tell me what you think. Like, for me, GoldenEye is an essential one. That's going to be probably the most difficult one because I think Microsoft and Nintendo are a little more buddy-buddy today than they once were, which tells me... Like, they were willing to let Banjo be in Smash if Nintendo really wanted to do it. So I think they would actually – Phil Spencer might be cool with, like, you know what? It is part of your history. You know, just give us a buck per system to put it on there. Heck, I think they should just partner with Nintendo and let Nintendo make another Banjo-Kazooie game and just have Microsoft, you know, be the publisher or whatever and get all the publishing money. Yeah. But
that's just
my take because Microsoft's not doing anything with the freaking IP anyways.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, might as well, or maybe, I mean, they could just go to the, you know, Playtonic who made Yooka-Laylee and just be like, hey, instead of trying to make what you used to, actually make it.
Yeah,
here you go.
Right,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But besides, Microsoft hasn't bought them up yet. Microsoft's buying up everyone right now.
Yeah.
Microsoft's coming hard with the exclusive this next gen.
Yeah.
This is going to be crazy because PlayStation already gets a lot of exclusives. Obviously, Nintendo is like the king of the mountain with exclusives. Oh, Microsoft's going to be bringing it. This next gen is going to be nuts for exclusives. And someone's going to be like, oh, Microsoft games aren't technically exclusive. You just get them on PC. Okay, console exclusive. All right.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyways. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Nintendo Prime podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Ninty Prime, and you can follow Eric on Twitter.
Emo8790.
At Emo8790. Yes. You guys know how that works. Yeah. Not Instagram. I mean, I have an Instagram that I never advertise.
Yeah.
I have two of them, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't even know what they are. I don't think it's even at Nintendo Prime. So.
Sure.
I don't know what they are, so don't try to find me on Instagram.
Well, you could try, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Probably following a stranger at that point. Yeah, if you see one that has me on a beach, that's my private Instagram. So
yes.
I don't really use it. There's just the one picture from LA from this past year on a beach.
Yeah.
When I was messing around with it when you were changing or going to the bathroom or whatever the hell you were doing. Yeah. Took you forever. It took you so long I ordered food and snap pictures. And it was like, where are you? And then you show up like, why are we sitting here? Well, now I ordered food. You were gone so long. Yeah. I'm hungry. And
I'm sorry.
People are walking by me with food, and it actually looks kind of good.
Yeah, right.
It actually was kind of good. I didn't expect the beach
sand
food
was
to be
hot as hell, and the bathrooms were like 400 yards away.
Yeah, the bathrooms weren't close to where we were gonna. Because that's when that was the reason. One, I wish we could. Both times we've gone to the beach, I wish we could have actually been there longer. This is why we need. Like, I was even telling Yulia, like, if we go to E3 next year, it's almost like we need a full 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily. Yeah, pretty much a full.
Week and a half.
Like, we basically have, I want to basically leave on the Wednesday and then not come back to the following Saturday.
Right.
And so, like, that's a week and a half. But that's just so there is that day where, one, we can just enjoy being in L.A. Because, you did get to do the Hollywood thing that one day, but there was, like, press conferences and other things going on that I was taking care of. So it would have been nice to, and the EA thing actually being there in time to do it together. Yeah. So when someone does let us sneak footage of something we're not supposed to have,
right?
Like there's actually one of us that can hold the camera,
and actually get
the good angles. But yeah, it's an interesting town. It's an interesting time, it is. I can't wait to go back. And we'll catch you guys. Oh, Patreon.com/Nintendo Prime, $5 a month get the podcast early. $10 you get to watch it live. $20 you can be on a podcast. that supports this show. Patreon also just supports Nintendo Prime in general. So we appreciate all of you guys. Obviously, our content will always be free. You'll always be able to get it, even if it's on a slight delay, for free on youtube.com/C/NintendoPrimeYT. I actually remember the URL to my YouTube channel for once.
There you go.
It's funny. I never plug my YouTube channel because I always say, oh, well, it's coming out on YouTube. But what about the hundreds of audio listeners we have that might never check us out on YouTube?
It's called go to YouTube and search.
Just so you know, audio listeners, I am a YouTuber.
Yeah. So. It's called you go to YouTube and type in Nintendo Prime and you should be able to find your channel fairly easily.
With or without a space, either way, it'll show up.
Yeah.
I think you guys are tuning in. And we'll catch you in the next one.